The Ray Foley Podcast.
Oh, here we go. Here come the details.
A Today FM original podcast.
Ray.
Yeah.
I love the show.
Hey!
What a cutie lickety split. Hello there, it's podcast time. And if you're in the mood for a little podcast, well, I'm in the mood for giving you one. Here, take this. It's a podcast. I'm Ray Foley. There's my good friend.
How you doing?
John Paul Gilburn.
That's me.
And we are here for you. If you want to drop us any correspondence, either with regard to the radio show or the podcast, you can email jp@todayfm.com. If you're cheesed off that you can't listen to our daily show anymore, well, you can. You can listen to it on the Listen Back. It's available there on the Today FM app. Go over to your App Store or your Google Play Store, download Today FM, and they're all there. All the shows are there. You can listen to them to your heart's content. You can hear the full show. You can hear the songs. You can hear the everything that we do on the show. You can download them there. That's on todayfm.com or on the Today FM app. You can install that on your device. And what else? Instagram at Ray Foley Insta. Good day. I'm a cutie lickety split. Remember that one? Name the song.
Well, I know.
Lickety split.
Oh, it's a lady, and her from the voice was not. She didn't sing that. Oh, Sam Obernick, was it?
Oh my God!
Yeah, I only know her from
Jesus.
No, see, I don't know her from the song you're singing.
How did he get that?
I only know her from the song that was used as the Mac.
All right,
Bingo Bango. No,
lickety split. My eyes. Tim Deluxe, it just won't do. What's that blippity blop noise? Why does it do that when it's plugged in there? The it's on the phone.
Is it a warning that you've now connected to another system?
It never does it it never does it ordinarily, but it's only when it's plugged into this system that it does the. It's annoying, though, I have to say.
I know her better from Linus Loves and Stand Back. She was the featured vocalist on that.
You little. Bringing up.
No, it was used at football fans. Hi, Ray. Okay. Will recognize the song from Match of the Day from back in the day when it was used. Oh, or maybe it was some sort of Saturday afternoon soccer show. But anyway, it was used while the goals were flying in. You'd hear this song,
Linus Loves,
and Stand Back.
Sam Obernick.
Yeah, I had this on one of my own playlists.
Stand
for years.
Back. Was it something like that?
Stand Back, yeah.
Stand Back.
Stand Back.
It's not here. It's right. Not. You can't get it on. On the, you know, the thing that all the kids listen to the music on these days. The Spotify over there.
Sorry, I've led you down a cul-de-sac there, man.
Linus Loves Stand Back. No, it's not there. Isn't that funny?
I can describe the song to you if you want.
Does it go Stand Back?
Something like that, yeah. I think it features a Fleetwood Mac sample. Or Stevie Nicks
sample.
It
is Stevie Nicks. I've got Stevie Nicks Stand Back, all right. Stand Back. Oh, shut up. Do shut up. And there was another song then that reminded me of. It was Please Hold. All these. Do you know the way you play one song and then it reminds you of other? Oh, Nelly. Stand Back. I'll let my jam, my bones. That'll do. Alex Gaudino, of course, and Destination Calabria. But of course I can't play any of those songs because there's a podcast and we'll be shut down right away if we attempted to be playing any music.
Copyright strikes, right?
Uh-huh. How are we? How are you feeling? How's your weekend going so far?
Quiet start to the Saturday. Delighted to be in here with you, Ray. But the weekend's a young beast, you know? Do you count Fridays on a weekend?
I used to. When I was working on breakfast, Friday was very much part of the weekend. And Friday's show would be a write-off. It'd be really, when I worked on breakfast, you worked on breakfast with me for the blink of an eye.
Ill-fated breakfast show.
Working on a breakfast show, you'd really consider your job as being Monday to Thursday. And then it's like, oh yeah, I have to do a show on a Friday as well, but like, ass to that. Once that show is done, then you're out the gap. And imagine finishing work. Like when I was in Cork, the show was finished at 9 o'clock on a Friday morning.
Oh, that's nice.
That's golden, my friend. Oh, yeah. That's the sweet spot right there. You don't want to be doing a breakfast show till 10 a.m. As to that as well. And yeah, finished it at 9, and then from 9 all the way until Sunday evening at about 6 p.m. you're free as a bird. And then the crippling anxiety and terror of having to work early on a Monday morning would come creeping back in.
That's the thing. That's the thing with breakfast at the weekend. Because Friday's glorious, and it really is glorious. Because all week, you've been going to bed at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, something like that. And then Friday, you're staying up to 1 o'clock in the morning. But then you hit Sunday, and you're like, oh my God, we start this merry-go-round again.
Ass to that, that's what I say.
Where's this ass to that thing come from? You're clearly trying to make it stick.
I'm trying to make fetch happen. We've been told not to swear. So I'm on the podcast. It's like, oh no, there's no swearing on the podcast because I think it's because of the way they mark, you know, the way they have to mark a podcast as explicit.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no swearing. So now that I'm conscious of that, I'm trying to come up with a suitable, family friendly expression that allows me to convey my dissatisfaction as an F word or a damn it word might, but at the same time is expressive enough that I'm able to get it out. So as to that, I think could be my...
Many parents, I'm not one, but many parents would obviously do that similar thing when they have kids. They invent swear words so they can swear, but they're not technically rude swear words. So you can vent without offending anyone.
Well, sugar was always a big one in our house.
Sugar, you got your flips. My dad would be good for codswallop. He liked codswallop. I don't know where that word comes from, but codswallop was one. Twillix
is just made up. Codswallop is a real one.
Are you saying that's a Bob Gilbert original, Twillix?
I think your dad could trademark Twillix.
Maggot and Gombean, they're standard. You'd have those. But he would also go with Thundering Gazebo. Now, I don't think he made that up because he wasn't the type to just make up something like that. I think he might have inherited it from his parents. Thundering Gazebo or Gazebo. So add those in with ask to that. You got your codswallops, your Twillixes, and your thundering gazebos.
Thundering gazebos, hashtag trademark Bob Gilbert, 1980 something.
50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and still with us.
Let me have a look at what was speaking of dads. This was the article in the Irish Times. By the way, can I just say I'm a great dad? I just went and spent a daft amount of money on Lego. I'm very lucky to be able to do it. Here's what's happening. This weekend, my wife is abandoning us. She's going off on a girly weekend for a long weekend with her best pal for a girly weekend. Now, bear in mind, we've only just been on holidays and we brought her as well. I thought I was really, really, you know, being really amazing by bringing her along to mind the children.
Very generous, yeah.
It was very generous of me. Brought her as well. And
this is how she rewards you.
This is how she repays me. Like 5 days later, she's off on her merry travels again. The Tundra and Twillix gazebo.
Don't people say
as
though,
to that.
Don't people often come back from holiday and say, geez, I need a holiday after that. So maybe this is a holiday she needed after the holiday.
She had this holiday planned before she ever knew about the holiday, the big holiday we went on.
All right.
Ridiculous carry-on. Absolutely ridiculous. So I have to say, it's before she's not even gone yet. But before she goes, I have put together a list of things that I have to do as a single... I'm a single parent now.
Well, you will be, yeah.
I'm a single mother. And the list, I'm stressing about it. It has become a big, like, I'm not going to have a weekend this weekend. Because, you know, as to that, I have to do everything that two parents do. To the single mothers and indeed the single fathers out there, I finally get a sense of what it is and how stressful it is to take it all on yourself.
But you've been a parent for 10, 11 years now. Do you not have an understanding of what the job entails, or is there a split in the jobs breakdown between you and Kate so that there are jobs that she traditionally does that now you'll have to pick up the slack on this weekend?
Yeah.
Oh.
So basically, she does the work of 1.5, maybe 1.75 parents.
Right.
So I need to take on the work of two parents this weekend, and I am bricking it. So as to that, like, not to be sexist, we have fallen into some traditional roles in our house. And then there's roles then that we haven't. Like, I do a lot of the cooking in the house. Okay, that's my, before we get into this, that's my, I'm cool. Don't come, women, don't come for me.
Some of your best friends are women.
Yeah, I speak to women all the time. I even fancy some women. So I do a lot of the cooking, but I have no concept of the washing machine. But then equally, she has no concept of the dishwasher. Really, she doesn't.
Well, I would find a dishwasher a different beast to a washing machine. Dishwasher, I can't make head or tail of, because you have to open the thing to set the settings, and then I don't know what they do. But a washing machine...
You live on your own. Who washes your clothes?
I have a washing machine, and that's fine. I use the washing machine because the dial specifically says what everything does. But with a dishwasher, I have used them...
I thought you were saying the other way around.
No. The dishwasher is all kind of shortened terms and prog for program and all this jazz, which I can't understand.
Have a dishwasher?
No.
All right. Jesus, really? Wow. In this day and age.
I wouldn't say I have room in the apartment for a dishwasher. There'd be nowhere to put it.
You get rid of something else and put a dishwasher.
I'd have to get rid of the washing machine. And then me clothes would stink, but me dishes be clean.
You must have a press that you don't use in the kitchen.
There's a couple of those corner presses, but you can't put a dishwasher in a corner kitchen. You can't.
Do you know what you can do? You can get dishwashers that are a half a press width. They're only a little skinny dishwasher, and it'll do a load for a lonely man living on his own in his 40s that has no one. It's the ideal size. Or there are these dishwashers that you can get. My father-in-law has one. My in-laws bought by anyway. It's two drawers in the dishwasher, so it's two half dishwashers, top drawer and bottom drawer, and you can use them independently of each other. What you can do is, and actually this is the going even greater than that again, this is a thing that's huge in London, in the city in London, where all the financiers and all the bankers work, and they're all super rich, and they only live in the city during the week, and then they move out and decamp to, I don't know, Cambridge or wherever, or Kent for the weekend. I don't know, where do they go? Where do the rich people go? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Islands somewhere.
Soho.
South of France. But they have in their apartments in the city, it's a hugely common thing that they've got two dishwashers.
For what?
This is the genius bit, Jean-Paul. And this is where it could work for you as a sad, lonely man with nobody in his mid-40s.
That's me.
Living on his own.
Thanks.
That you can have two dishwashers, and what you do is, once one is full, it's full, you wash the stuff in it, and then you never load or unload the dishwasher, right?
So the dishes never go back in a press.
No.
They just go from dishwasher to dishwasher.
It's the dream. I love, genuinely, every time I'm loading my dishwasher, I think, wouldn't it be amazing to have a second dishwasher?
Do you not like the process of loading and unloading and drying off the last remaining bits of wetness? No?
No, I don't. There's another division of labour thing that this is such a radio thing. We should do this in the radio. What are the jobs you just don't do? And that you wish your other half did. I load and I put on the dishwasher, but I very rarely empty it because I am so conscientious about emptying it that everything has to be completely dry before it goes in the press. My wife is not burdened by any of those OCD conditions. Basically, she will take the rack, it seems, of the dishwasher loaded with still wet dishes and just... turn them upside down into a drawer.
Like, perfect.
Just like, there you go. I've emptied the dishwasher. This morning, I went to make a cup of tea. The inside of the bottom of the mug was wet.
Oh no.
I went to fry an egg in my baby frying pan. The pan was wet. I was like, is that grease?
Oh no.
The pan was wet.
You can't fry with a wet pan.
I went and got a plate from the press. The plate was wet. It's like, what was going on here yesterday? Everything was wet. It drives me spare. You've no idea.
I have been in a relationship with somebody who was the opposite. And I made the mistake several times of being, quote unquote, helpful, getting up first thing in the morning and then unloading the dishwasher, which had gone on cycle overnight or whatever else, and put things back where it would make sense for them to go, but Little did I know, that's not where they go.
But did you dry them?
Oh, yeah, no, I would have a tea towel and I would be drying them off. Of course, I'm not an animal. I'm not a savage.
I'd go to the cutlery drawer and the forks would be wet.
No. But no, stuff gets moldy then.
I know.
You can't have that.
I know. I hate her. I hate her so much. I'm so glad she's moving out for the weekend. So anyway, the division of labor. I don't have a clue about the washing machine. I do not. So I've had to ask her to talk me through, and I've written down notes of putting on the washing machine on Saturday, because we've got one of those we've got a deal on Saturdays where you can you get a deal on your electricity.
Your units are cheaper.
Yeah, units are cheaper on Saturday. So I'm that's when my wife's obsessive about the. Oh yeah, she's not obsessive about washing the or drying the dishes. But she is obsessive about getting all of our week's washing done in the, whatever, 10-hour window where we've got cheaper units on a Saturday.
I do the same. I put my washing machine on a timer to go off at about 5 or 6 in the morning, which I'd say the people above me or below me, because you know when washing machines are spinning it dry, they vibrate a lot and the floor might vibrate. Yeah. So hello and shout out to my neighbours, either above or below me or to the side of me, who get to hear that.
It's not sex.
That would be a fast rhythm.
It's
in fairness.
It's the washing machine.
Which cycle is he on now? Bloody hell.
Oh my God.
Is that a rinse cycle? What's going on there?
So, the washing machine. Where was I going with that? She's going away this weekend. I went to the Lego shop and I bought some Lego so that I can surprise my eldest child with some Star Wars Lego.
And this gives you major dad brownie points.
Well, do you know what? It's a wonderful feeling. The feeling of, you know, isn't it well documented? By giving or getting something for someone or treating someone, amazing.
Yes. Now, the cruel people would say, I'm going to ask this question. I'm going to say this. Do you feel like you're buying their affection?
No, it's even more selfish than that. That the feeling of having bought it, it's this sort of, what's the feeling of the charity feeling as well that you get, the wellness. It's the altruistic sort of, it's that. It's the selfish, sure, I haven't even given it to him yet. I've still got the receipt, I can bring it back on the way home from work. It's there. It's over there in the bank.
I can see it, yeah.
So I can, now that I've bought it and I've had all of the feel, I've experienced whatever it is hormonally that's going on inside of me, that has made me feel great for buying that for him. Do you know, there's going to be something in this.
What do you mean? Well, of course it gives you a heightened sense of self-worth.
Well, I bought it an hour and a half ago. Brilliant. I've had 90 minutes of great feeling, of elation. Once all this burns off, I'll just drop it back into the shop. Can you put that back in the debit card?
Yeah, unused.
Do you know what? There's something in that. We could get on it. We'll build an app. I think there could be something in that. And the other guy's into Funkos. So, into Funkos?
Little Japanesey style sort of characters, dolls, figures, figurines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Nonsense. But Lego's very expensive.
Also a good distraction technique for the weekend as well, so that they are busy doing something while you're doing other things.
Do you think that's not on my list?
Yep.
Do you think the Lego wasn't on my list about something I have to worry about this weekend? Because it'll mean the kids will be occupied for a certain amount of time so I can spend that time working out how to work the washing machine and giving out about the forks being wet in the drawer. As to that! Or as to this?
As to that.
I was reading an article about dads. Let me see. So this article, the Irish Times, who's this? Sheila Wayman had a conversation with Finn McKenna Fox from County Monaghan with his children Bonnie, Oak and Bree. And the article headline, new fathers and mental health. So much of the focus was on supporting my wife. Many men will struggle in the postnatal period, but finding support can be difficult, right? And of course there is, and rightly so, there should be, a huge focus on mothers and mums and new mums and giving birth, and especially looking after women's mental health when they are having babies, and particularly afterwards, and hormonally what's going on, and mentally what's going on, and making sure you're taking care of yourself, and rightly so. But the observation that was being made in the Irish Times yesterday, health and wellness consultant Finn McKenna Fox knew all about looking after his physical and mental health until he became a father for the first time. In the flip of a switch, I lost the whole identity of who I was, he says. So much of the focus was on supporting my wife through that massive transition. And he goes on to say that he's now there was less of a focus on his own mental health, and his own mental health probably suffered then as a result, and his identity changed utterly. I went bonkers when not when Kate had the baby, but when she said she was pregnant. There was definitely a kind of a, oh gee, and like there's this cliche of like, you know, that thing of, I've got something to tell you. It's, we're having a baby. And you're expected, I think, to do the TV or movie reaction, which is, yes, because we had been trying, by the way. It wasn't like an accident or a surprise. It was like, you know, we had made the decision we were going to start trying. We were trying. And then she became pregnant. We were hugely lucky as well. Obviously, that needs to be noted too, that we were very lucky. We got pregnant very quickly. And she broke the news to me. And it wasn't the amazing, yes, I've won the lotto feeling that you're obligated to express, like TV shows and movie shows, movies show you, you're supposed to react. Like you're supposed to grab her and lift her up into the air, spin her around and give her loads of smooches. I did all that, by the way. I did a spin her around bit, but but I was like, yeah, great, smoochy, smoochy. But I was actually feeling, oh, God, Jesus, now she...
So you're actually giving her the reaction that you felt was appropriate, but necessarily inside didn't mirror what you were feeling, totally.
Well, I wasn't being dishonest either. Mm. I mean, it wasn't like I was being completely disingenuous. I mean, we had decided and we'd gotten what we wanted and we'd certainly gotten what she wanted, which, you know, was all part of the plan. But internally, there was... Jesus, there was definitely a kind of a... Do you remember this?
Well, I'm trying to remember. How soon after she told you, did you tell me? Because we were working together at the time.
Oh, I think I told you right away, didn't I? I didn't do the whole waiting thing. Because, you know, we're out of the woods. And what is it, the 12-week mark you're supposed to tell people? I think I told you straight away.
Right.
Like I wasn't going to tell you.
I don't think you... You didn't come across as if you were losing your mind or terribly stressed out. I'm sure I recognised the stress at the time, but it didn't seem like anything out of the ordinary for something as huge as that.
I think that it was the funny thing was I got married young. So, and then there was sort of an expectation when I was 26 when I got married. Kate would have been 28, 29 at the time. And then, of course, the minute you get married, I mean, anyone that has gotten married will tell you the same, that it's like instantly, it's, oh, when are we having babies? When are you due? When are you having a baby? Oh, when are you going to start? Whereas we had a conversation, which was, well, we got married so young, we're going to be married for a while and we're going to enjoy being married for a while. And I definitely wasn't in the, because I had this notion that like, sure, I'll have babies when I'm like 50. Not 50, but maybe late 30s or 40s. And, you know, it's a partnership. There's two of ye. And there's also biology in terms of timing and making sure that, you know, that Kate can have kids. That in the end, it was like, I would think I was 31, 32 when she said, yeah, we're going ahead with this. You know, we got to push on here. And I was like,
but I've enjoyed myself so much over the last few years.
Are we having a great time though? Come on. So it was definitely the feeling then of, do you know what it was actually? The biggest change was this job, this line of work, up until she said she was going to have a baby. And like we had a mortgage and all. Yeah, we were mortgaged. We had a dog already for years. We were obviously married for years with big commitments. But the introduction of a child into the mix was then like, oh, balls. I'm not doing the radio for the crack anymore.
You got mouths to feed.
Yeah. And that was really, really difficult. That looking at the job, and not just, you know, wouldn't be, you know, whatever job I'd have, I suppose you'd be kind of, you're pivoting then from, this is just a way of paying my bills and making sure I've got enough for pints and phone credit at the weekend. That no, we need to, and then my perspective on work completely changed and sort of almost ruined the work for a long time for me.
Really?
Yeah.
because it became too much of it. It became a burden then.
There was no freedom associated with it.
Yeah. Really, I didn't understand that was going on in the background. Right. Okay. Maybe I'm just asleep at the wheel and not noticing these signals and signs.
JP doesn't know.
I don't engage.
He's like, how are you, Ray? And he doesn't hear the answer.
I've already moved on. What's next?
Yeah, but there's definitely a thing with and I'd say a lot of dads, if they were being completely honest, would probably be able to identify that or speak to that. Then, of course, there's the opposite. There's the other way around as well, where it's like dads are like, come on, let's have babies. Let's go. And then she's kind of like, well, no, let's leave it for a while, or I'm not particularly pushed, or what am I going to be like as a parent? That's the other thing that you have to...
It's all an adjustment thing. It's like anything. These massive things come along in your life and you think, before them, if you knew they were going to happen, you would think, I'll never get used to this. I'll never find a way of dealing with this. I'll never factor this into my daily life schedule. How will that work?
That's how I feel about the washing machine.
Well, this weekend is your opportunity, Ray.
Yeah.
Just imagine.
How will I deal with it? It's going to be a change. I think once I learn how to use the washing machine, that is much like becoming a father. Actually, becoming a father was a totally different thing as well. But that's another tangent I could go off on. Yeah, well, it's not actually becoming a father. It's being told you're going to be a father. That's when everything changed for me. But much like becoming a father, I think learning to use the washing machine would be a fundamental shift in the household dynamics.
But then I'll
never be the same again.
If you let Kate know that you can now use the washing machine, you will be required to use the washing machine.
I'm not getting into that. Old cliche, that old thing of, I'll pretend you don't know how to do it because then you'll only be asked to do it. That's nonsense. I think that's nonsense. It's daft. JP at Today FM.